Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board with us as we face the issues. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we entertain, encourage, invite your telephone call, your dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. We'll be talking about today, how do we hear from God today? Or if you want to put it in a different terminology, does God still speak to us today? If God still speaks to us today, how does he do that? Does he do so in a loud, audible voice? If not, then how does he speak to us today? That's the subject. That's the issue. There's a lot of confusion about that today. A lot of people running around saying, God told me to say so-and-so. God told me to tell you this, that, and the other. God told me to get married. God told me to get a divorce. God told me to buy this house or that car or the other. How does God do that? I'd be the very first one to say, in that sense, God's never told me to do anything that his word doesn't validate or say. And as we face the issues, let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is God's word that we should depend on as the source book for truth. John 8:31-32, Jesus said, as he's speaking to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. And then further, Jesus makes a declaratory statement when he says in John 17:17, thy word is truth. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the word of God that we ought to depend upon. And we can't depend on what the world says. We can't depend on what the world thinks or believes. But what does the word of God say? That settles it between now and eternity. But, ladies and gentlemen, it's George Orwell, the secularist, that made a statement many years ago. He said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that to be so validatable true today. It was Jim DeMint, the former U.S. senator, that says America's decline is linked to the death of truth. And he goes on to say that the truth is the word of God derived from the scripture. And the church is the only custodian of the Bible. And then Jim DeMint says, what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today. Listen, even in Christian churches, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's important to understand based on the issue, the subject matter that we're speaking of today. There are a lot of people that will say what they're saying in relationship to saying that God spoke to them, God told them, and that God has directed them, God's instructed them. We need to be very, very careful and analyze that based on the authority of Scripture. The Truth Book, it was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that made a powerful statement. He said, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And I challenge you, ladies and gentlemen, to do that. And in this broadcast today, we're going to be defending the truth, standing on the truth, and speaking the truth in love with what the Scripture says. It may differ with what you believe, may differ with what you've been taught, may differ from what you're being told from the pulpit, may be a serious difference in what we say today and what you've always heard and understood. But this is the reason we have this broadcast, is so that we can seek the truth based on the authority of Scripture as we face the issues. And let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue, and discussion. Pastor Davis and I are going to be talking about that in just a few moments. How do we hear from God today? Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators. They have a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about backup power equipment. Tools for Time staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner lawn care and lawn care equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the juncture, the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295. There's a benchmark there, ladies and gentlemen, that will identify it miles away. There's a 165-foot flagpole with the American flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. The intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Look up as you travel, find that gigantic flag flowing, and at the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Pastor Davis, thank you for being here today. It's always our delight to have you on board so that we can talk about these issues, especially when we come to the Friday issue and we talk about spiritual things, looking at it from a central biblicist worldview. And I pray that our listeners today will be intrigued, encouraged, instructed, and challenged based on what we're going to say. And all that we say is going to be based on the authority of Scripture.
Amen.
Thank you for being here.
Amen. Amen. I thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood, again for being here. I want to say good morning to my bride of 36 years, to my grandchildren, amen, listening in on today. Good morning. Amen. Good morning. Amen. Sister Pam Jones, I ask you, amen, to tune in today. Sister Melinda down at State Farm Insurance and all of those fine people in the city of Folkestone, Georgia. Amen. Mm-hmm. St. Mary's, Georgia as well. All of you that are tuned in on today. Thank you so kindly. Amen. For listening. And we're hoping and praying that this will help you to come to the knowledge of the truth on today.
Amen.
Of how God speaks to us. And when he speaks, we ought to listen, Dr. Youngblood.
Yes, absolutely. Amen. Speak. And, we need to, as God speaks, we need to listen. But how does God speak? Do we hear him in a thundering, roaring, audible voice? Just exactly how does God speak to us today? How do we hear from God? Ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of folks today. And by the way, let me remind you once again that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear from you. If you agree, if you disagree, we're not going to be disagreeable. But as we study this issue, look at this issue today, and ask the question, how do we hear from God today? Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you've heard someone say, or perhaps you've said this, God told me this, or God told me that. Had a lady not too long ago said God told her to get a divorce. She got a divorce and remarried. She was married for about 6 or 7 years, and she said God told her to divorce him too. Now, I want to ask you a question. Is it possible that God told her that, Pastor?
My.
Impossibility.
No way.
It
no
is
way.
In total Amen. Contradiction to the Word of God.
Amen.
And yet
Amen.
There are a lot of people today that say, God told me this, God told me that. I recall, Pastor, many years ago, it's been less than 100 years ago, back in the era that I was in undergraduate school in Bible college, and there was a young man in the class who was about half my age. Of course, most of the people in the class were because it had been so long since I'd been in classroom, but he was about half my age, and we'd go across the street from the campus at that time and sit down and have a cup of coffee at the little coffee shop that was there. And five, six, seven, eight of us students would be seated together and enjoying the fellowship, having coffee, donuts, and breakfast. And classes would start about 7 o'clock in the morning. We were there for 6:30 in the morning. And never will forget, he would always sit down. The time he'd sit down, I could just about tell you what he's going to say. He would start talking. He said, God told me this, or God told me that, and God told me the other. After several weeks of that going on, I had a half sheet of paper in my jacket pocket, vest pocket. So as we sat in conversation, he came up with, God told me this, and God told me that. I took the paper out of my pocket and put my pen with it, handed it to him. I said, would you be kind enough to do something for me? Every time God tells you something, would you write it down and give it to me? And he looked kind of strange and looked at me, and he says, why? I said, because I'm going to take what God told you, I'm going to type it neatly, and I'm going to put it in the back of my Bible so that I will always have an up-to-date Bible with what God says. He didn't come up with God told me anything anymore as far as the conversation would go. So is that simply, how would you say, glib conversation? Or is that something that people really believe, that God told them so-and-so? God told me this, or God told me that. So the question, ladies and gentlemen, does God speak audibly today to his people? Does God speak audibly today to individuals? We need to be very, very careful about what is said, and often it is said from sincere Christians, and sometimes from many who perhaps are well-meaning, but biblically inept, biblically Amen. Immature, biblically ignorant of what the Scripture says, if I can use that term politely and yet so succinctly. We must base what we say on the Word of God, not some denominational dogma, not what somebody thinks that God says, or not what somebody might feel that God says. And when they say that, Pastor, it comes across with, how can we put it? It comes across with a sense of authority.
Amen.
I remember
Amen.
The false teacher that used to be on television a lot, so I've not seen him lately, Robert Tilton. Robert Tilton always, as he's shaking his head and speaking to the microphone, he'd say, God told me this and God told me that. God told me to tell you that you need to send your tithe to me, et cetera, et cetera. God told me. And he'd always preface what he said with, God told me so-and-so. Well, was that true? Did I just misunderstand Robert Tilton as well as Benny Hinn and a lot of the others that have said, used terms like that? God told me this and God told me that and God told me the other. We need to be very, very careful, Pastor, I believe, not to be deceived. In fact, the Bible warns us not to be deceived, but to be careful to believe the truth of the Word of God.
Amen.
In fact, the Scripture is very, very clear that it makes mention of the fact that Satan wants nothing more than to deceive the believers into believing what he says and not what God says.
Amen.
In
Amen.
Fact, the power of the written, revealed word is what we need to depend on. Satan comes, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, he can come in masquerading as an angel of light,
Amen.
The Scripture
Amen.
Says.
Amen.
In 1 John, the Scripture is very, very clear that we need to test the spirits.
Amen.
Plural.
Amen.
That means the demonic spirit or the Holy Spirit. Is it divine spirit or demonic spirit? Is it from Satan or the Savior? And yet we so often have well-meaning, and I give credit for the fact that sometimes with a Christian that is immature, that is illiterate, that is ignorant of the truth of the Word of God, will make statements based on what they've heard others say, are based on what they have heard from their the pulpits of the churches they're in, and they will make the statements that God told me this, and God told me that, and God told me the other.
Amen.
We need to be very careful when you have those. In fact, Pastor, down through the years, I've seen young adults, that will say they're dating some young ladies, dating some wicked, wild young man because he's got a fast car, a nice car, parts his hair right, and sweeps her off her feet. She says, you know, God told me to marry him. No, God hadn't told you to marry him at all.
My.
It is simply the urge and the passion that says marry him. There are those that will say, as I started out with earlier, will say, well, God told me to divorce my husband, or God told me to divorce my wife. That's simply a deception, a demonic deception, that God will never tell you anything, ladies and gentlemen, that is contrary to the Word of God.
Amen. Amen.
Many times Christians will try to authenticate their actions, will try to authenticate their deeds, will try to authenticate what they want to do by claiming that it comes from God and God told them that.
Amen. You know, Dr. Youngblood, sometimes people get caught up in emotions also.
Yes, yes.
You know, they can let their emotions carry them into areas that is not becoming of a Christian.
Yes, absolutely.
Because when we look at the way that Christ conducted himself, he always conducted himself according to the Father's will.
Yes.
And that's what we're supposed to be doing.
Absolutely.
His word is his will. Mm-hmm. And when we hear people, I've heard many Christians say, I don't know what the will of God is for my life. Well, my friend, you're telling me you're not reading the Bible.
Not reading the Bible. When somebody tells me that, I say, do you have a Bible?
Amen.
Read it.
Amen. When you're reading this word, amen, you are reading his will for your life.
That's it.
So then when we do anything contrary to what the Word of God says, as a Christian, Dr. Youngblood, we damage our testimony.
You got it. Absolutely.
Amen.
And
amen.
Satan wants nothing more than to tarnish, damage, eviscerate, destroy the testimony of the child of God.
Amen. Amen.
And for a Christian to make a brazen, bold statement, God told me this or God told me the other, They're, in most cases, Pastor, I believe they're trying to authenticate their actions and their deeds by claiming somehow that God told them that.
Amen.
I believe this is misguided. I believe it seriously damages the Scripture. It seriously challenges the Scripture. And, ladies and gentlemen, you need to understand, it goes back to the Genesis, the third chapter, where Satan said to Eve, "Yea, hath God said."
Amen.
It is an impingement on the Word of God. It is a challenge to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And then that challenge for the Word of God, Pastor, has been the case throughout the centuries to this very point, where there's a challenge to the Word of God. Some people want to believe or to do something badly enough, and they'll want to try to reject the truth. And in rejecting the truth, then, they're rejecting the truth of God's Word, and they try to authenticate it by saying, "God told me to do it.
Amen.
God told
Amen.
Me to say it. God told me to go out and just have a fling. God told me to have just this one Bud Dummer or Miller Low Life. God told me just to do this," and whatever it may be.
Amen.
They try to authenticate it by the Word of God.
Amen.
It
Amen.
Is so sad, ladies and gentlemen, to see what is happening in the Christian world, as we'd call it today, that we want to blame God for decisions that we make ourselves.
Amen.
Trying to authenticate it based on saying, "Well, God told me to say this or do that." Pastor, when a person says that or does that, what is the cause? What is happening there, in your opinion, based on the Scripture?
Basically, Dr. Youngblood, what I think is happening, my mind was going through, amen, many of things as you were saying, what you just got finished saying. I think one of the main things that happens is our motives are offset.
Yes.
You know, if your motives are not in the right place, and I had a great church mother I had a lot of respect for years ago, Mother Pearl Myers from St. Mary's, Georgia.
Yes.
She used to say there's a motive behind it. What's the motive?
What's the motive?
Amen.
Why are you saying God said
amen,
this?
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, Dr. Youngblood, we want revenge for something that someone has done to us. So we say, "God told me not to do this for them." Mm-hmm. Or "God told me to," and it's always something contrary to what the Word of God says, because you feel that you want to be vindicated for your own reason.
Yes. What if a person were to say, well-meaning, supposedly a Christian, say, "Well, God told me to kill my neighbor." Can you authenticate that?
There's
Isn't it
no way.
The Word of God? Does God authenticate or authorize that? No.
Amen.
Why should we then, ladies and gentlemen, believe that if a person says, "God told me this, God told me that," why should we believe it? I believe we have Chandler on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood. I was just enjoying the conversation, and I was going to say, I think that the times that when I feel that God has spoken to me through the use of the Holy Spirit, through either a pastor or through Scripture or through this one sounds a little outlandish, but I do think that God has definitely spoken to me in dreams, and it's more of a correction, not a like a conviction type dream, not a directive audible voice of God saying, "Hey, go do this." It's more of a him using a scene in my dream to show, like, "Hey, you're doing this incorrectly. You shouldn't be doing it that way." And it's like a conviction of the Holy Spirit. But that's how I've personally heard God in my life, through a pastor giving me a sermon directly using the Word, and that word just grabs me. And I'm like, that is God telling me right there through that Scripture what to do in my life at that moment.
It is through the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, Chandler, just as
exactly.
you said. And as people say, many times, in fact, you can go back to the Old Testament now, and the Old Testament was filled with signs, miracles, and wonders, visions, and dreams, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But God, in today's time, has given us His Word, and according to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, God today is speaking through His Son.
Amen.
His Son, Jesus Christ, is the Logos of God, the Word of God, the written, revealed Word of God, and therefore that's the Word that has the final authority.
Amen.
I say to people, if you say, "Well, I made the decision based on a dream, maybe you had bad pizza, you know, maybe that's the cause of the dream." But many times, there is the solidification, let's use it that way, the authentication of what God through His Word has already spoken to us. God speaks to us through good gospel music, not through rock and roll music. God speaks to us through the preached Word. God
Amen.
Speaks to us through what He will give us in our conscience, with the conscience bearing witness to what the Word of God says.
Amen.
All of those
Amen.
Are means and methods of which God speaks to us today. But the primary thing that I say to people, Chandler, and I know you understand this based on what you've said, is it being authenticated by the Word of God. If a person is deficit in the Word of God, person not meditating on the Word, studying the Word, and memorizing the Word and applying the Word, then there is a major, major frailty and a failure to recognize that many times what is prompted in the heart and the mind is not from God at all.
Amen. Amen. And then, Dr. Youngblood, I'm so thankful for what this brother just got finished saying, because I'm sure, I'm just listening to his conversation, what he was saying. I'm sure because his motives were inclined toward the truth.
Mm-hmm.
When God spoke, he was able to receive.
Yes,
because
absolutely.
He wanted to know the truth, because God is the only source of truth that we have in this world.
Absolutely. Chandler, thank you so much, brother, for your call. Hey, keep on. Go ahead. Did you have something else to say? All right, Chandler, thank you so much for your call. Thank you for your input. I believe we have Tom on the line to go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood. I haven't had a radio in my truck, so I don't know the topic today. But what I was calling about is I just wanted to ask you, why are you so tough on Fauci the fraud? You know, the guy, he had a hard time in life. He tried selling used cars. He couldn't make a go with that. He tried selling encyclopedias. He couldn't make a go with that. And right before his brother-in-law was indicted, he got him a job with the health department. And it seems like he's kind of spit and sputtered along. But why do you give Biden the fraud such a free rein? You know, he was the swimming pool guard at the country club, and somebody took a liking to him and gave him money to run for a local city council, and he's done good. And my only way of thinking is maybe because Biden's got Obama telling him exactly what to do and say, it makes him more professional, and you're kind of giving him a free ride and leaning on Fauci the fraud.
Well, we've had Saint Anthony Fauci now for 40 some odd years. We've had Joe Biden. That, just by the way, Joe Biden just announced, as he was at a Mack dealership, that's Mack 18-wheeler truck dealership, and a group of people there talking and asking questions. He told them that he used to be an 18-wheeler driver. So now, not only has he done all of these other things, and, you know, what was his name, Corn Pop or whatever his name was, took the 18-foot chain and wrapped it around his knuckles and beat his way out of the crowd, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, Biden is a real tough dude. And now we find out that he's not only been a failure and a fraud for 50 years in politics, but he used to be a 18-wheeler driver. That gives him some clout, I assume. So that's his statement yesterday. But, yeah, we need to face the facts and understand the truth. And I believe this is touching on this in answer to your question. I believe that St. Anthony Fauci, Emperor Fauci, Dr. Fauci, I believe he is the personally responsible. And I believe personally that God's going to hold him personally responsible for the death of 4.5 million people around the globe today, because it's at his behest, at his oversight, his doing in carrying out the gain-of-function research that he slipped behind the scenes of President Trump and continued to do so when it was already made considered to be illegal. And yet I believe he's going to be held responsible for it. So I don't cut any slack whatsoever for Sleepy Joe, for the one that's cognitively deplete, that Joe Biden is actually the puppet for Barack Hussein Obama, and that Anthony Fauci, because of M-O-N-E-Y, is the one that's responsible for killing about 4.5 million people on a global basis. So we need to recognize the truth. And thank you, Brother Tom, for calling. Thank you for your comments. You're exactly right. We need to be careful of what is taking place and who is responsible parties for doing so. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. And as we talk about today, the question, how do we hear from God today? Does God just buy out of fiat? Does God speak audibly? Does God speak loudly and clearly? Boy, I don't know, Brother Pastor Davis. I don't know about you. But I wish it were possible that God would just speak audibly.
Amen.
It'd take a lot of confusion out of what we believe God wants us to do.
Amen.
We could wake up in the morning, and God would simply say, This is what I want you to do today. This is how I want you to do it. This is what time I want you to do it. And this is where I want you to go. This is what I want you to say. Make it a whole lot simpler, wouldn't it?
And maybe he would scare the devil out of some of these that's walking around
that's
here
right.
not doing right. Amen.
Absolutely.
Praise God.
That's a good thought.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be careful, careful, careful when somebody makes the statement that God told me so-and-so. Remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, the scripture says that Satan masquerades as an angel of light. And this is the reason that we're told to search the scriptures. Acts chapter 17, verse 11, the Berean Christian says, search the scriptures.
Amen.
See, and they were talking about with the Apostle Paul, what Paul and the others had said. The Berean Christians, ladies and gentlemen, said, we're going to search the scriptures to see if what they say is true.
Amen.
And we need to search the scriptures. If somebody says, God told me so-and-so, then I want to say to you or to say to them, where in the scripture does it validate that God told you to say or to do that?
Amen.
That's the bottom line.
Amen.
Pastor, how do you respond to those statements where people will be so prone to make those, come to those conclusions?
Amen. Well, you know, there was a portion of scripture where God told, I think it was Isaiah,
mm-hmm.
whenever a prophet speaks and his word doesn't come to pass, you will know that God didn't tell him that.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. But whenever his word comes to pass, then you know that that's a person that heard from God, and you ought to be paying respect to him he is the mouthpiece of God.
Yes. In fact, when you say that, I'm prone to recognize that what would happen to a false prophet in that era, they'd be taken out and stoned to death at the city gate.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
Of prophesying, supposedly. In fact, in Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, it is very, very clear. It's a wonderful chapter, chapter 23 in Jeremiah, by the way. All of the book of Jeremiah is one of my favorite texts. My bride says that all of them are my favorite. She's right. But in that 25th chapter, Jeremiah talks about these false prophets, false teachers, and he says, you guys are telling the king things that you say that God told you to tell him, and you hadn't even talked to God.
Amen. Amen.
And there are a lot of folks today say, well, God told me to do this, and God told me to do that. And as the text was in Jeremiah 23, as the little boy says, it's poor grammar, but it makes a point. You ain't even talked to God.
Amen.
And yet there's a mindset today that you can authenticate what you're doing by simply saying, God told me. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be very careful because in 1 John, the 4th chapter, the scripture reminds us, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try, that means to test, to prove the spirits, S-P-I-R-I-T-S, spirits, plural.
Amen.
Meaning
Amen.
There's more than one spirit. And as you hear a voice speaking and you say, God told me this or God told me that, the question begs to be asked, demands to be answered. Was it God? Was it the Spirit of God? Was it the Holy Spirit? Or was it another spirit? There are two spirits, the divine and the demonic.
Amen.
And the scripture says that we need to test, prove, try the spirits. So, ladies and gentlemen, what instrument, what instruments, what instructions, what can we find from the Bible? What instructions can we find in the scripture that will tell us what we need to do? Here's a text, Pastor, that I'm going to touch on before we take our top of the hour break. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. God who at sundry times.
Amen. Amen.
At sundry times, that's diverse times.
Amen.
And at different times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by dia through the prophets. Verse 2 says, hath in these last days spoken unto us by dia through his son. So, ladies and gentlemen, God's son, Jesus Christ, is the Logos of God, the living word of God. He is the written word of God. He is the one that, go from Genesis 1:1 through the Revelation 22, verse 21, in the beginning God. And you find from that point forward, ladies and gentlemen, everything that, where it talks about God created, it is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 through 18 says that everything that's created that's visible and invisible, everything's in the heavens, everything's beneath the heaven, everything that's on earth and beneath the earth, Jesus Christ is the one that created it.
Amen.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the Word of God, which is God's progressive revelation of himself to man. That's where we ought to stand. We ought to go back to the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? Not what God told me to tell you so-and-so. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back right after the top of the hour news.
Amen.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.